All right. Good morning, everybody. I pray that the Lord has given you a good life, and I pray that this morning I'll say something to make it better through the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Good to see all of you. You all are wonderful people. Each time I come, you all are so cordial and so gracious. You make me feel like I belong somewhere. So thank you for allowing your godness to be good to me and to others who come. I'm pretty sure the people who come to this ministry, they don't just get the love of God through the word, but they get the love of God through your actions toward them. Thank you for being so kind. And as I go forward, I want to definitely thank God for the leadership of this ministry. You look at Bill Purvis and Brent and their wives, Carrie and Debbie, this ministry is blessed tremendously beyond favor. These people have given their lives to the Lord and have given their lives to you, and you have reciprocated that by now allowing those phenomenal figures to come up, which y'all did last week as a Cascade family. So I definitely applaud you for what you've done. But can we give Bill and Brent and Carrie and Debbie a hand? Yes. They are God's people, and you all recognize that and give them credence to do what it is that they do. So as I was asked to come today, I'm saying, what in the world can I give these people who get good food, good word every week? So God says, I want you to just talk to them about two things, two words. And I said, really? He said, tell them the topic of this morning's missive is the gift. The gift. May sound like it's infinitesimal, but I want you to know that there's a large, spendiferous, big, elephantine word in that gift called the Holy Spirit. And so we want to open that present up today that's in you and make sure that you know who he is. We want to talk to the haves and the have-nots, the ones who have them to let you know who you have, and the ones who don't have them to let you know who you're missing. So we want to do a duality this morning to make sure that we talk to both audiences. Well, gift, what does that mean? Not like Christmas, but this is something that God gives through the auspices of what Jesus went back and left, or who he left when he went back. Doria, it means something that's given voluntarily and beyond obligation. The Lord gives you this gift voluntarily. Doesn't have to do it, but he loved you so much that he left a guide in you, not just with you. And what does that gift do? He is an enablement to cause you to do whatever the Lord has called you to do. You can't do it without the empowerment. So therefore, let's find out, when you open this gift, what happens to your life. Your life is changed. Your life has now been transformed into a different modality, so that now you'll be able to walk and talk the word of God in essence of your life, not just your mouth. So we want to talk this morning about this gift. Now, there are different gifts that the Lord gives. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit, fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and 22 and 23. We're not talking about those. We're not talking about the gift of grace, nor the gift of salvation, which we're going to talk about. Nor the gift of eternal life, which is the end result, or the gift of righteousness, which you already have. But the name of the gift is the Holy Spirit. What does and who does he represent in your life? We talk about him, we read about him, but how do we allow this to be prevalent in our lives so that it's not just words that come out of our mouth, but an enablement to live our lives differently? Let's see how we get this Holy Spirit. How do you get this change? Now, those of you who I'm going to talk to who are going to get him, I'm going to show you how to get him. Those of you who have him, we want to make sure you keep him and that you'll be able to walk a life of empowerment, not just a life of enthusiasm. So let's see how this works. Romans 10:9 says, if you acknowledge publicly with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus, that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Now, those of you who have already done this, I want to tell you, you are saved. Those of you who will do it, you will be saved. And the thing about being saved is very important. You didn't do anything to deserve it. See, Jesus didn't die necessarily only for you. He died as you. So therefore, he became you on the cross. He did nothing to become sin. Therefore, you do nothing to become righteous except to accept it. So therefore, he hung, he bled, and he died and got up for you. The thing about it is that when he went back, he did not just leave you helpless. We're going to talk about this enablement in a little bit so you'll understand who's in you and who you can have in you. Being saved. He talked about save, salvation, sozo. What did that mean? Well, salvation is the gracious, undeserved gift of God. That's who you have in you, the gift of God. If you want to see the love of God, to feel the love of God, feel the knowledge of God, it's in you. I know you read your Bible, you read God's word, but the Holy Spirit is also in you, which leads you to God's word and makes you helps you understand God's word, along with Bill and Brent as they break it down to you each week. Also, salvation means you are delivered from the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Believe me, you want this gift rather than pay the wages. You're going to live somewhere forever. Your enablement through the Holy Spirit to it, and also your personal decision to accept Jesus as your Savior will give you eternal life with Jesus himself. And so we want to talk to you this morning about this eternity that you have in you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, he says, and he said that he's made everything beautiful in its time. He has planted eternity, a divine sense of power and purpose, and put it in you that nothing on earth can satisfy. That's why you all are here today. That's why you pray. That's why you keep coming to the Lord, because nothing on earth can satisfy eternity other than what the purpose that God put it in you for. You are eternal people living an eternal life, even though you're in a temporary situation. This life is temporary, but you are going to live eternally somewhere. We are going today to tell you to be sure of where you're going to spend that life. As I said before, stop, drop, and roll does not work in hell. Forget it. There are no fire extinguishers. There are no exits. The fire truck don't come. So I'm trying to say is we want to keep you out of that. And the way that you come out of that, we're going to show you this morning. And those of you who have it, make sure you keep it, the gift. Now, when we get this gift, the only way to get through that to that gift is by faith. Now, I know we can go to Hebrews 4:12 and talk about the biblical explanation of faith. Faith is simply believing what God has said taking him at his word without seeing it. Faith. So therefore, you're going to have faith that you are saved. Faith that you are righteous. You didn't see it. You didn't cause it. But by faith, you got to know that he is in you, operating in you. Not just freeloading in you, but telling you how free the load that you have can be if you put it on him. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. He cares so much for you, he put an enablement in you called the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not talking about spirits that you go down to the ABC store. Those are spirits as well, but they would take you to where you want to go. But this is a Holy Spirit. But hold on now, he will make you drunk. Drunk enough to where you start changing your life. Inebriated enough to where you start talking with a new tongue. And you become so full of this Holy Ghost, this Spirit, that it actually changes, or he actually changes the trajectory of your life. And he lives in you. He does not just come to visit. So today, you're hearing the Holy Spirit. But I want you to understand that I'm talking to the Spirit in you. This is why you can bear witness that he lives in you, because it's like Spirit talking to Spirit. So now what I'm telling you, if he is in you, I'm telling you to awaken him. Unwrap the gift. Unwrap the love. Unwrap the feelings that only God can give you. The purpose that only God can give you. I know you go to work. I know you take care of your family, but your purpose here is to understand what the gift can do through you. Don't just rely on your cognitive dissonance, how you methodically think. I want you to know and understand that the Holy Ghost inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, is the mind of God. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but you are walking around with the presence of God in you. I know you read it and you understand the pages, but the pages now are no longer your focus. Your focus is the pages coming alive in you. So therefore, you are walking around with the Bible pages in your life. So therefore, when you understand this, you will not put your head down at any point. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Know what? You are gates to people's lives. They don't know God, but you open the gate. Let me show you who he is. I know you got a Bible, but I want you to read me. I am an epistle. I'm a living example. I'm a living testimony of what not God can do, but what he has done. I got a history. If I told you my history, and then you look at me and say, you came from that to here? And I say, yes. So you can come from where you are to where I am and go further. If the gift is unwrapped. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, when you receive this gospel, now you must decide to believe and trust what you hear by faith. Then the relationship with God will be ironclad. What do I mean by this? When you receive the Holy Spirit, he is permanently in you. When you die, the presence of the Holy Spirit, no, remember the Spirit is omnipresent, which means that he can transcend time. He was in your past. He's in your present. He will be in your future. Not just tomorrow, but when you die. The Bible says in Romans 8:11, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. He will quicken or make alive your mortal bodies. What did this mean? I feel the Holy Spirit about now. Okay, what it says here is that corruption will put on incorruptibility. Mortality will put on immortality. And you will get up with the same body that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. That's in you. Today, I'm making sure there's no tomb. There's no stone in front of your tomb. I'm rolling it away today so you let the life that's in you not just live in you, but come out of you. You are the living, breathing, walking manifestation of God in the earth. You are the only God that some people will see before they see him. So therefore, as I talk to you, I'm talking to you out of the resources of God's mind into your heart so you can speak the mind of God to other people's hearts. Now, so when you believe this, now being saved is not something that's temporary. Permanently saved. You are permanently saved. I know we're going to mess up sometime. We are being perfected. We're not perfect. But because of Jesus' blood, when you mess up, I didn't say if, that blood does something that like a rubber dub. It just begins to rub all that stuff off of you that life has put on you. And it causes you to live a life and say, you know what? I know I messed up, but there's something inside of me that tells me that God didn't throw me away. It says in Romans 5:1, there is now, today, no condemnation for them who walk no longer after the flesh, which is your desires, but walk after the Spirit. So therefore, your decisions have changed and will change when you allow the gift to be unwrapped in you. You have to unwrap it. When you get a gift at Christmas, the gift does not unwrap itself. Tear the paper. Take the bow off. Open the box. Now what you're doing through prayer and desires and hearing, you're opening that present. Looking on the inside. Hearing what it says. Doing what he says. Now the gift becomes alive. And the gift is alive in you because you give it life. Okay? Now, another thing. Let's keep going here. What is that Holy Spirit? What is he? Who is he? What does he do? The Holy Spirit that was given to you by the precious blood of Jesus is the divine force, the divine quality, the divine influence of God. Now, let me tell you how this works. Because he gave you the gift, he bought you first. He bought you. How did he buy you? When Jesus died, he purchased you with his precious blood. You are valuable. People may not think you are. You're not valuable because of the car you drive, the dress you wear, the Rolex you wear, the shoes you wear. You're valuable because God thought enough of you to put the gift in you. You are valuable. You are so valuable, he sent his only begotten son to die for you. So if he died for you, why can't you live for him? Amen. Now, this influence over your life has power. It has results. And when you allow him to get the results that he has already gotten, look at it now, he's already gotten the results. Let me share this. And she prayed it today, that God tells the end or knows the end from the beginning. And let me tell you what this means. God, okay, Ecclesiastes 3:15, he says, that which has been is now. And that which is now has already been. What? That which has been is now. And that which is now has already been. So God is saying, you're not going anywhere that I haven't already been. That's why I can tell you how to go. I've been there. I've done that. I'm going to give you the GPS of the Holy Spirit to take the path that's already been set for you. I'm not talking about your job, that's a choice. Your vocation, that's a choice. I'm talking about how you live your life. You have already been predestined by God. Now, what are you predestined to do? To be conformed into the image of His Son. So therefore, the things that happen in your life are really aids to help you become who you are. You are a subtotal of all the things you have gone through in your life, and those that you have made cause to be positive or those you have made to become negative. All of us are going to go through things. Nobody is exempt from trouble. John 16:33 says, in this world, you will have trouble and tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, in 1 John 5:4, he said, now, when you believe in the work that Jesus did on the cross, you have overcome the world. So therefore, what world are we talking about? The word cosmos, where we get the word cosmetics. What the enemy does, he cosmetically make things look good. Let me give you an example. Take a man or a woman, you dress them up, or you put the mascara on, put the rouge on, put all of that stuff on, and they look immaculate until the sun start them to sweat. Now, one pimple, two pimples, four pimples. Why? Because it looks good because it's covered. The enemy has a way of making things look good because he covers them up cosmetically. But the Holy Spirit will say, hold on now. I want you to see through my eyes. That looks good, but it's not good. That feels good, but it's not good for you. So that this gift protects you from being fooled by mascara of the enemy. Let me keep going here. So now, because he has done this, let's see what our responsibility is. Therefore, I beseech you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, believers, in view of God's mercy, when you're going through life and you think that you can't make it, go back and view God's mercy. What is His mercy? When you were yet sinners, He died for you. When you didn't even know who He was, He died for you. When you was as drunk as a skunk and couldn't find your way home, He died for you. Everything, the most unimaginable, the most sin that you can commit in this world, before you accepted Him, He took a chance on you and died for you. So therefore, present your body, which is not yours, as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The praise team or the dance, the music ministry did an extra job this morning of praise and worship. But this Bible is saying true and proper worship is when you present your body. God, Holy Spirit, you live in this body. So what I do in here, I'm going to make sure it's pleasing to you and acceptable to you. It says here that now how do we do this? Be not conformed. Compound word, con, with, form. Who you gonna be? What you gonna be formed with? Most of you are formed by thoughts of either yours or other people. You are a sum total of all the thoughts that you have computed in your mind that you let stay and grow. Words are seeds, and all seed need is ground. You are made of the dust of the earth. So when seed words go into your ground, if you don't pull them up, the bad weeds will grow. That's why we cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit gives you the knowledge of God. And you can make an informed decision of what you're doing because the Holy Spirit gives you knowledge. You're walking around with knowledge in you of God's mind. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So therefore, the renewing of your mind takes you from the good to the perfect. Good to perfect. What you've been doing that may have been good may not have been perfect or acceptable. Good and acceptable. So therefore, we got to make sure that we move from good to acceptable. There are some things that we've done in our life, come on now, and even in church, even though you are Cascade Helians, it does not mean that you've done everything right. It was good until you found out it wasn't acceptable. So the Holy Spirit reveals to you, that's not acceptable. And then the Holy Spirit begins to tell you, I'm going to empower you to pull away from what's not acceptable. You cannot do it on your own. Philippians 2:13 and Amplified Version says, it is not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively and effectually at work in you. What is he doing? He's energizing and creating in you both the will and the desire to do what pleases him. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Now, the renewing of your mind. Make sure that you don't understand that reading does not renew your mind. Reading only gives you the information, but it's the application that causes you to change. Information is like this. Those of you who've had some weight challenges, you get on the scale, it tells you how much you weigh, but it does not change your weight. Come on now. It only gives you information, how much you weigh. If you want to change the information, change your application. Watch what you put in your mouth. I'm going to say that right there. Watch what you eat. Most of us are really those of us who listen to people a lot. We become and being formed by the words we let stay in our mind. That's why you got to be careful who you talk to. Lord have mercy. Do not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. What's the ungodly? Those who don't follow the spirit that's in you. Sometimes we split. But can I tell you, sometimes the most ungodly advice we get is from ourselves. But we are the last one that make the choice. So make sure you don't become your own ungodly counsel. So therefore, we need godly counsel. I'm going to show you this in a minute. What does that mean? Now, because you've been saved, because you are righteous, because you have this gift in you, it says, do you not know? If you didn't, now you know. That you continuously exist in this world being the temple of God. When God, see, you give life to the Spirit when he works in you. In this world, a spirit does not operate without a body. That's why Jesus had to become flesh, to become human. So when God wanted to put his spirit in the world and make it live and become alive and effective, he chose you. So in you are his works. And he begins to tell you what those works are as you begin to give him credence and start to follow his advice. So therefore, you are the divine habitation of God's holy place. What? Holy place? You, there's a place in you that God has reserved for himself. And it's his holy place. This is why the enemy does not like you getting teaching like what you get from Brent and Bill, because it exposes the power that's in you. Now you will not ask for what you already have, but you begin to use what you have, the gift. So if you don't know what to do, how to do it, unwrap the gift, the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you. Now look at this. He makes his home in you. He makes his home in you. And it is God's will thinking, which is progressively habitating in you. The way he thinks is habitating in you. Within the midst of every believer is Christ. Those of you who understand fight or flight, it does not come from here. Comes somewhere in here, the inner person. It's called the inner man. You don't follow the Holy Spirit with this gray matter in your head called a brain. The brain would die because it's flesh. The brain is attached to the earth. But your Holy Spirit will override your mind and your brain and say, now look here, we're going to start thinking like who's on the inside of us. Who is the Christ that's in you or who's in you? So therefore, get ready for some decisions to change. Those of you who are tired of looking in the mirror, trying to figure out your life, trying to change your life, we're giving you the anecdote today. Those of you who are being challenged and you know what I'm talking about, keep him. He's valuable. But because he's valuable, he makes you valuable. Your stock just went up when you became a believer. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Just look at this. A robber or a thief don't break into a house to steal an ink pen. He breaks in because he knows something is valuable. So the more the enemy comes after you, it shows how valuable you are. So therefore, let this gift show you how to fight this enemy. He's not physical. Fighting a person is like waving smoke and leaving the fire to burn down the house. It is not the person, it's the spirit inside the person, and the Holy Spirit within you begin to reveal you to you the root of the problem. So therefore, we're not going to go surface anymore. You cut down a tree and don't take up the roots, it's going to grow back again. This is why the Holy Spirit begins to root himself in you. Root. The Bible says you are rooted and grounded in love. Let's keep going. As I hurry to my culmination here. John 16:13, this is what it says. When, not if, when Holy Spirit comes, and he's already here because he lives in you. He will guide you constantly into truth and reality. Just because you see it does not mean it's real. Because we walk by faith. Everything you see may not be exactly what you see. So therefore, if you want to do it God's way, you got to see beyond what you see. We say it this way. If you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it because you didn't see it. So anyway, make sure you're walking through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He puts light on the subject. You know how it is sometimes when you're in a dark place and you can't see things, all of a sudden that light comes on and you can see the dandruff, you know, see all that kind of stuff. This is what the Holy Spirit does. It shows you the dandruff that you can't see in darkness. It shows you the pitfalls you can't see in darkness. It shows you God's way when you're trying to do it your way. He opens and exposes what's wrong so you can now choose to do right. That's the gift. How does he do this? He continuously hears from God and he reports back to you what is being said. So therefore, if you want to know what God is saying, listen This is why when I'm going through trouble, I don't talk much. I listen. Why? Because the Holy Spirit talks to you. And he talks to you not here. He talks to you out of here. When you do something wrong, that's a gut feeling. Matter of fact, doctors call this the second brain, where it is something inside of you that tells you this is not right. Have you ever had something that come to you and you didn't know what was wrong with it, but you had a gut feeling? Something wrong with that. I know you're smiling. I know that you're telling me this is good, but somewhere that Holy Spirit says, you are a shyster. You're trying to bamboozle me. That's what the enemy does. He's a master shyster. He comes to you crafty. But the Holy Spirit reveals to you all the danger, reveals to you all the stuff that comes up out of his mind to fool you, the schemes, the strategies. This is why you can't be fooled, because the Holy Spirit that's in you begins to reveal to you the foolery. The gift is important in your life. As we say the insurance company, don't leave home without it. So therefore, we got to make sure that we keep hearing this Holy Spirit. Now, what else does the Holy Spirit do? He helps you in your weaknesses. Every one of you in this audience today, at some point, I don't care how strong you are, I don't care how saved you are, I don't care how much oil to pour on your head, I don't care how many hands are laid on you, you can have whatever you say you got and call yourself saved. At some point, your humanity is going to kick in and you're going to meet something that you didn't expect. And this Spirit, the Holy Spirit says, sometimes you don't know how to pray or what you should pray for. And this is the way I look at it. I have been here, maybe not y'all. I just speak to me, about me. There are times, have been times in my life that a person has come and asked me, what is going on? What happened? I just say, If you ain't got to that point, you ain't really got to the point where you can't really talk. An example would be something hit you blindsided. I know when I played football, the hardest I ever got hit was when I wasn't looking. Man, it knocked the wind out of me. But the thing about it is, I was looking away at the ball, not looking at who was coming to me. What I'm trying to say is that what the Holy Spirit does, when you get hit like that, he comes to your weakness. If you don't let him, you will do it emotionally. We see a few weeks ago, an emotional outburst was given on display in front of camera. I'm not going to call a name. You put a name there. But an outburst does not care when it comes. It will put you in public and then come up. And then now you say, where'd that come from? In other words, it was there, it just wasn't dealt with. So therefore, the Holy Spirit began to deal with you in your weaknesses. Let me give you a weakness. You're driving down the road, minding your own business, having a good day, got your praise and worship music on, or may have Bill or Brent on in your car, and all of a sudden, a car comes out of nowhere and pulls right in front of you and slows down. Come on, bumper stickers. Come on, t-shirts. What you gonna do now? Don't tell me that you're gonna say, bless you, my friend. So in other words, before you say something, the Holy Spirit will say, that's not what you're supposed to say. Now, we have not forgotten the expletives in our lives. Come on now. Just because you're in Cascade Hills does not mean you don't know how to go back and pick up some words. And so, but the Holy Spirit says, now you know you used to do that, but now I've changed you. Now, it's nothing wrong with getting angry. It's what you do when you get angry. Okay? Each of us has emotions. We are created after an emotional God. God loves, that's an emotion. God hates, that's an emotion. God gets angry, that's an emotion. See, pressure don't kill you, it's how you react to it. So therefore, we're telling you how to react to the things that are going to come in your life. The gift is going to lead you and guide you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, there are things that are going to come in your life and maybe in your life right now that you did not see coming. And when these things come, you have an aid. Here we go. I said this morning. Those of us who have a toothache or had a toothache before, you don't go to, I'm not getting nothing wrong with our YouTube. I've learned a lot of things off of YouTube. They save a lot of money. But I will not go to YouTube to find out how to pull my own tooth. But now, so I go to a dentist because I need to go there. But now the dentist uses something called Novocaine, which numbs the pain. Novocaine does not stop your tooth from being extracted, but it helps with the pain. What am I telling you? The Holy Spirit does not exactly stop you from going through stuff, but when it happens, it numbs the pain. How are you standing? The Holy Spirit has given me power. How did you go through this? The Holy Gift is in me. How did you not do such and such when such and such did this to you? Because the Spirit is working in me. See, I said this morning, we wear these things, what would Jesus do? That's good. But you don't know what you don't want to know what he would do. No, you don't. Love those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who do you wrong. Father, forgive them. That's what Jesus would do. You are doing something to me. I'm going to pray for you. That's what Jesus would do. Can you do that without the aid of the gift in you? No. You might be lucky sometimes you won't be lucky. But I don't want to go through life trying to play Russian roulette. But I don't know when I'm going to die. I want you ready through this Holy Spirit and what Brent and Bill are teaching you, that you will be ready when that day comes, because the eternity is already in you. So you'll be like a missile going straight to heaven. Not doing this. I don't know which way you're going to go. And look at this way, okay? These two words I want to hear. I want to hear well done. I don't want to hear well. Well. No, I don't want to hear that. In other words, they said going down. No, and I don't want those words. So we're teaching you how to live a life of victory. Okay? Now, so the Holy Spirit talks to us in our weaknesses. He talks to God on our behalf according to the purposes and the will of God and the mind of God for our lives. Isn't that amazing? That when you get weak, there's a strength inside you that begins to go to God on your behalf. What do they need? This is what they need. He's not asking what you want. Sometimes what we want is not what we need. Them Debbie cakes, we want them. Come on, you know. I mean, but now, that might not be good for you, because your A1C might not accept that. What I'm trying to say is, we got to be careful of what we like that God says is not good for you. Holy Spirit begins to give you those things. Let's go here. As I quickly come to a hurry, to close. I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Now, John 16:13. When the Spirit, not if, when, he's already here. How do we know? Jesus left him. Where is he? Now, he's not in heaven. He's in you. The Spirit of truth comes. What would he do? Lead you and guide you, right? Now, I went backwards. Somebody needed to know that. Somebody need to, let me go back. Somebody need to know that he's already in you. He's not coming. You can't tarry for the Holy Spirit. I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. He's already here. Say, the Holy Spirit, come on with me. Say, the Holy Spirit is not on his way. The Holy Spirit is in me. God Almighty, that's a word right there that will stump the enemy. You mean they didn't find out that the Holy Spirit is in them? See, what do you have in you? When Jesus was on the cross, death said, I got him. Grave said, I'm gonna hold him. If you hold him, grave, cross, I'll kill him. Grave said, I got him. But somewhere in between death and the burial, the Holy Spirit said, I'm gonna untangle him from death, pull him up from the grave. Now he's arisen as a savior. But I'm not just gonna keep that to myself. I'm gonna give it to every believer. You're gonna die. You're gonna go in a grave, but it cannot hold you. Lord have mercy, you're gonna get up victorious, because the gift is gonna present you faultless toward God. Don't you want that kind of gift in you? That gift is available. Those of you who don't have it today, we're going to give you an invitation to get him. Those of you who have him, we want to show you how to keep him, what he does. Now, what does he do? One is, he's a comforter. What does he do? He eases the grief and trouble, and he encourages you. What does he do? He eases your grief or trouble, and he gives you encouragement. What does he do? He's a counselor. He gives you advice, not just before you get in trouble. He gives you advice when you get in it, because some of us are going to be hard-headed. And so even though you're in it, he still goes on your behalf. God remembers what his son did. I'm going to show you in a minute. A helper. He's a counselor to you to give you advice. He's a helper. He assists you in every task that God gives you to do, or else you wouldn't be able to do it, because it's a God-sized task. So God has to put the power it takes to do it inside of you. It's an inside job. So the Holy Spirit works from the inside out. What else does he do? He's the intercessor. He stands in and prays for you to God for you. You don't know what to say. I like this next one. He's an advocate. One who defends you. One who defends you. The enemy is the accuser. But the word says you've been acquitted. I'm going to say it again. You have been accused and was guilty. But the Holy Spirit and Jesus on your behalf intercede and say, God, see them through Jesus' eyes. See them through the work that Jesus did. See them through the blood. See them through the agony. See them through the pain that I experienced. And God says, not guilty. Acquitted. There is no record of your wrongdoing. God, so the enemy now don't have nothing to accuse you of, because the evidence has been gone. Say, I might have done it. Say, I might have did it, but the evidence is gone. Because the blood of Jesus has washed it away. What is it? He's my strengthener. He makes me strong and continues to make me strong. I'm going to be stronger. I'm stronger today than I was yesterday. I'm going to be stronger tomorrow than I am today. Why? Because you keep on strengthening me. Stand by. He's always ready for immediate action. God's Holy Spirit does not take a lunch break. Call me when I get through with lunch. I know you need me right now, but I'm on break. Everybody deserves a break. I'm sleeping. I'm on my vacation. No, Holy Spirit is always immediately there to come to your aid out of you, from inside of you. Now, you have never met God in person, or Jesus in person, never. Never, you never met him in person, met him in person. But the person of him is in you. What's the person, the personality, the nature? That's who's in you. That's what's in you. My last screen here, and here we go. Hey, I gave you the attributes. Now let's go one more. Philippians 2:16. You are continuously holding and progressively having. Continuously holding and progressively having. You have him, but you don't, but now you're getting more of him. When I say more of him, he's getting more of you. When you get God, you get all of him. He just don't have all of you. Okay, let me tell you what I mean. Those of you who have had children, you had to get pregnant first. You didn't go to your husband and say, well, I went to the doctor, we 1/3 pregnant, we got to go back now and finish the other 3/4. No, the whole baby is inside of you. It just hadn't matured yet. So the Holy Spirit is in you. He just has to mature you to recognize what's in you, who's in you. So you got all of him in you. He just hadn't expanded in you yet. So those of you who are, you know, we got different sized people. Some are, you know, small, some medium, some large. The thing about it is that when you were in your mother's womb, even if you weigh 300 pounds right now, you were 300 pounds in your mom's womb. You just hadn't expanded yet. So what I'm trying to say is when you are born again and you receive Christ, you are as large as you can be. You just got to expand. You are not coming into God. God is coming more into you. You're giving him more of you. Now, how does he do that? Progressively. You have Christ's mind. Christ's mind is anointed. You have an anointed mind. I didn't say brain. Sometimes we do foolish stuff. But this mind that's in you, what does it do? It screens the thoughts, screens the feelings, screens the desires, screens the purposes. With this mind in you, you can't go to Publix, decide to get some milk, and then before you get to the counter, you decide you don't want it and put it back in the bread section. Can't do it. Take that cart out there in the hot sun, and you two, whatever, to take it back, you leave it, you just put it in front of the car, and that's what they get paid to do. No, courtesy would tell you, I cannot really put this thing out there when I gonna take this thing back and put it in the cart section. See, those things are called integrity, character. Can't tell you how you got the Holy Spirit in you. If you come to a stop sign at 3:00 in the morning and there are no police, you are the only person on the road. Do you stop? That's integrity. That's character. Think about it. Most people are on their best behavior when somebody's looking. But who are you in private? This is when you know who you really are. So in other words, screens the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes, which is the mind of Christ. So as I close here, I want you to know that all I said today is in you. And those of you who don't have him, he can be in you. Confess with the mouth, believe in the heart, and you will be saved. Some of y'all are going to cry, but you pick up yourself after you get through crying and say, gift, do your work. Some of y'all are going to get hit, and you never know where it was coming from. But then when you get up, Holy Spirit, thank you. I'm like a weeble wobble. I fall over, but you know, you can't make me stay down. Hit me today, I come back up today. I'm not coming back up tomorrow. I'm coming back up right now. Why? Because the comeback is in me. I'm not gonna come back. The comeback lives in me. Called the gift. So therefore, as I leave you and go away from you, this gift is going to live in you. And Brent and Bill have done a magnificent job of making sure that this gift is living in you and is efficacious, effective. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your ears. Thank you for allowing me to speak to the grace, the power, the enablement that's in you called the gift. He's with you. He's in you. Never to leave you, never to forsake you, never to leave you in a place of helplessness. never to leave you in a place where you feel all alone. You are vessels that carry the gift that Jesus gave you. Special people, valuable people, gold out there. Okay, I get excited when I start talking about people like this. So I just want you to know I love you, thank God for you, and we're going to now live this Holy Spirit life. Amen. God bless you. God keep you.
All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Hartman, for that word. And come on, Cascade Hills, let's go show some more love, Dr. Hartman, blessing us this morning. That's right. Thank you, Dr. Hartman. What a word for us this morning. And I have a question for all of us this morning is do you know Jesus? Not do you have a head knowledge of Jesus, but do you have a personal relationship with the resurrected King and Savior? And so what we all know is tomorrow is not promised. Next 5 minutes is not promised. So when we die, we will spend eternity somewhere. Either it will be with Jesus in heaven for all of eternity or separated for all of eternity from Him. And so only you get to decide whether or not you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Your parents can't do it for you. Your spouse can't do it for you. Only you get to decide. Now, how do you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It's by believing and confessing. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. And so my question for you, has there ever been a time that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus? Do you know without a doubt where you spend eternity? Now, I'm going to lead you in prayer in just a moment. There's nothing special about the prayer. It's about your heart. It's about calling on Jesus and recognizing Him as Lord and Savior. So are you ready to do that today? Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day, and thank you for the word that Dr. Hartman brought us today. God, I pray that you would just be speaking to all of us right now. Lord, you know everyone in here. You know everything they're struggling with. You know every thought, every desire, Lord. You know whether they've accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior or not. And if you're here this morning, you're watching online, and you know this is the time, this is something you've been putting off, or you've been struggling with, you've been battling with, I pray you'll pray this prayer with me right now. Just say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I cannot save myself. I believe that your son Jesus died on a cross for my sins. And I believe he rose again. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? And would you be my Lord and Savior? I accept you today and I commit to following you.